Come on.
Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, the strong and powerful Jim Koch. Jim, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Excellent. Let's do this. Jim is an RMA and the founding principal and financial advisor with Koch Capital Management, as well as the creator of the Informed Household. I'm excited to have you on. Jim, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why it is you do what you do.
Oh, great. Thank you, George. Well, personally, this is I'm a RIA up here in the Bay Area. I got here, this is my third career. Growing up, I actually started off as a software engineer and went to college to study engineering, came out and did that track for a decade, and then went back to business school. And after business school, my brother had a great opportunity. He was doing a lot of retail mall development, and basically strip malls, and he needed help and a CFO, and I went and worked with him for a decade. Loved it, and then we kind of got out before the various housing crashes and stuff. And I always wanted to be a financial advisor, but I didn't necessarily want to go work for a big brokerage firm. My dad had worked for Merrill, and they'd been good to him for, you know, he'd worked there an entire career and stuff, but I was very kind of interested more in what was just kind of starting out, kind of how to help people retire and think about cash flows and what they wanted to do. And so that kind of started where I am now, Koch Capital, which I started back in 2009, not the best timing, but coming for the Great Recession, but I definitely figured that he needed help and was very interested in learning about how to more be able to advise on, you know, not just the investment management part of it, but also the whole thing, what we now kind of call as comprehensive financial planning. And interestingly, one of the first things that I found was was RIA, the Retirement Income Industry Association, and they have a designation, which I think you know about, I think some of your listeners know about, the RMA. And I went and I did that and really enjoyed it. And I said, wow, this is a good niche for me. I like this. I do like doing the investment management, but it's nice when you can take it to the next level and actually help people, you know, plan for when they retire, or, you know, at least in these days, you know, what is really retirement other than, you know, maybe your primary earning career stops and you want to do something else, but you want to be able to have a plan for the rest of your life. So that's kind of how I got into this business and what I do primarily at Koch Capital. Thank you for mentioning the Informed Household. That's my newest venture. Basically, just being a very kind of engineer, I systematizing a lot of the different processes and stuff that I go through with my retirement planning clients, and I'm very technology enabled. I mean, I run a complete digital advisory. I know a lot of other firms are going there too, but I've been doing it for a while, and it's helped me get efficient, and also realize there's parts of this that seem to me can really help somebody that wants to get started. They don't necessarily, you know, they want more than what's out there in a standard kind of internet calculator, which is just kind of a one-off snapshot, you know, or, you know, go through a complete financial analysis with an advisor and all their tools and software and analysis and stuff, that there was probably a middle ground that could kind of get them help them and get them going, and then at a minimum help identify what their, you know, their biggest risks or biggest issues are and start tackling that, whether they decide to kind of do it yourself or you know, get the help of a financial advisor to tackle it. So That's a little bit about what that endeavor is, and it's just it's different because I'm doing it as a non-RAA entity. It's more of a subscription service, so there's very much a software element of that, and then also a big education element to help people use it and get going. But I'm very excited about it, and I'm happy to talk more about it as we get into the discussion here.
Well, I think that's excellent, and I appreciate you sharing all that information. It's always great to be able to identify a need in the marketplace, in what is a very crowded marketplace, and then to bring forth a new idea or a new option for people. So is there a perfect end user for this? You mentioned just people who they don't necessarily want to sit down and do a complete financial plan, but they're not necessarily happy with the calculators that are out there. But is there an age demographic necessarily?
There's not an age demographic. It's my guess is folks in their a little bit closer to quote the traditional retirement side are going to be probably more interested, but that doesn't preclude families and households just starting out, especially if they're a very planning oriented and really want to get a kind of their hands around a comprehensive but kind of intuitive to understand household balance sheet that's kind of where they are now in terms of being able to finance their future funding goals. And the nice thing with the technology and everything is that's come a long ways where you can not make, the financial statement or financial balance, the balance sheet a static document. It can have feeds and bring in real-time data and be updating and provide history on kind of where you are and where you're going. So what I see as a need, so if you're young and you're doing this, what it will help you do is actually see the trend. Is all your, actual savings and, spending plans and stuff, what is that happening over time? You've got a plan. You're starting to implement it. It's going to give you feedback on whether or not you're on track to make that plan. And, the thing with, any of this planning that I've always had a hard time with is, life happens, and it happens frequently.
Right.
And it's hard to predict the future out for any household years. I mean, so let alone trying to predict what a portfolio is going to return and provide 10 years down the road, but that can always get tripped up a bit with life events and stuff. So if you have a way to be able to monitor it over time and give you feedback and know, how much extra slack you have to cover that, I think it can give you a lot more peace of mind earlier in the process without actually having, achieved the final goal. You're seeing you're on track, you're making how much you're, saving, planning to save, you're actually doing it, and it's moving the needle to your goal, which is, being completely funded for at the time that you do want to possibly stop all work. So, There isn't, everyone's saying, you should have a specific niche or something that this should go for, but this is really for the end user, anybody who's, serious about basically doing comprehensive financial planning or getting started, because this is very much a 30,000-foot view. I'm not giving you specific advice on which financial product you should be in, which insurance policy makes sense, what's, a specific tax strategy. I'm just telling you at a high level, these are the buckets and these are where the opportunities are. And if you want to dive deeper, great. You can, I have a lot of resources on where to look yourself. If you have an existing advisor, it's a good way then to check in with that person or experts. And tackle that issue, and then also let me put it this way, at this point in my career I won't take any new clients unless they've actually gone through this process and completed an initial household balance sheet, just because I also find people that do that tend to be, you know, pretty serious planners,
right.
And they'll do well in this particular framework that I've got. So I think, again, I'm now being lib here is I think anyone who's really, you know, really takes that kind of the planning serious enough will find this very useful.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that it is important that people have a little bit of skin in the game and go through a bit of a process of learning or completing some kind of module or inputting information, because it does show that they are serious and committed to the process. So I think that that's smart. One aspect of the informed household that I really liked and was interesting was talking about how everybody has a savings preference and they have spending priorities. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So this was the other thing I like in our industry or found is the amount of, you know, jargon we have. And that can also be a hindrance to getting people to moving forward on this, because you obviously never want to make somebody feel, you know, you don't want to one-up them just because you know a bit of jargon and they don't. Plus, I think a lot of clients and potential clients, a lot of households, find a lot of this financial terminology intimidating. And so what I was trying to do with this is come up with a way to get to, you know, academically, you know, what's their, basically their risk tolerance, the risk capacity, without calling that, as well as help identify what's going to be most important to them on the spending side. So I refer to this as, you know, the savings preferences and spending priorities. So, and the way that breaks apart is on the savings side is kind of grouping all your, so if you can think of a balance sheet, you know, on the left side you have your household assets, or right side, you've got your, you know, future expense liabilities for the household. But on the right side, you can categorize all the various assets by are they more financially oriented? Are they, you know, traditional stocks and bonds, or you know, state or oil and gas, or, you know, a bunch of different things that where the prices tend to fluctuate. And then if you go down to another category, there's a lot in future savings. So this is where if you're a younger couple, a lot of your asset side may be what you're committing to do for future savings over the time. So that's kind of your earnings potential. And then a little bit further down the risk side is more, if you can think about what's kind of safe income assets, and that would be stuff like Social Security, or if you pensionize, you know, part of your investments to do a safe TIPS bond ladder, or, you know, and I feel bad already. I'm using a lot of terminology here.
That's all right.
Just getting into old, you know, advisor mode here, which I shouldn't. But the point is that you can categorize your assets by that, on whether or not from more risky assets to safer assets. And then on the expense side on the right, you know, how much what you're targeting to spend on is more essential expenses, living expenses, versus discretionary, you know, or versus, you know, legacy, or what I call next generation. What do you, you know, worried about beyond you? So if you use those types of categories, then you can come up and help self-identify in one of those groups. Then it's a good way to get at the same information. You're not having to necessarily have them do a, you know, big old risk analysis, investment, you know, risk preference questionnaire and stuff. It gets a lot of the same information in a very, what I hope would be a little more friendly and hopefully aspirational way. Because what I've found when I've the folks that I've been trying this on is it very quickly, you know, I can look at your mix on the balance sheet and tell you really quickly what you are. And then a lot of times someone will read this and go, you know, I really want to be, you know, some of the names we choose are like, I really want to be in this sleep like a baby category, which is really where, you know, the majority of your assets are in safe assets, and your funding and the majority of your expenses, your priority, are on essential living expenses. And that's a very safe way to do it. So if you want to think of it in kind of terminology that you see out in the advisor community, that's kind of a safety-first approach. Most of the world is what I call an insanely hopeful, and that is one where most of their financial assets are in you know, IRAs and trusts and stuff, and they're invested in stocks, bonds, and stuff, and those are, you know, price-fluctuating assets. And they're using those to fund, a lot of times, essential expenses, which are pretty stable, known, don't fluctuate too much. So that's a little, you know, bit of a mismatch in terms of you need to be pretty careful at managing those assets to be able to make spending side work. But frankly, that's where most people are, which is fine.
Right.
That may be the preference. So I'm also trying really hard not to make a judgment here. I'm just trying to figure out where you are and what type of, you know, savings preferences and spending priorities is going to give you, you know, the peace of mind for your entire household, not just you. So you got to kind of have everybody on board at that. And I've found it a pretty good kind of visual ways to get people thinking about it. Because once we know that, then we can tailor their balance sheet and the rest of the kind of analysis to how they want to do it, because, you know, different groups are going to have different risk assessments and different, you know, their main risks are going to be different depending on which of these types they show up as or want to be, and then we spend time on figuring out how to get them through that.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you help to identify within 9 different categories what kind of household they are, and then their numbers are all uploaded, and it's a dynamic dashboard, so to speak, that's always updating and changing. And then what is the desired, or rather the end product, them knowing that based on what you're trying to accomplish with your profile and where you're at today, that you are on track to be able to reach your retirement income goals?
Yeah, there's a very simple but intuitive measure that kind of cuts through all the, you know, I hate to say this, kind of probability and crap and this. I'm going to get some backlash on that one. It's funded ratio, and it's basically looking at your assets over liabilities, everything done back in present value terms. So, you know, so obviously if you have more assets than liabilities, it's going to be over 1, and that's what you want to get to if you're still, you know, in the early years moving toward that, and that's what you want to maintain when you're in retirement and spending down. So to be able to track the funded ratio over time is actually really helpful, because what I've found is it's much less volatile and more of kind of a, it's the real measure that kind of matters than a kind of probability. And the reason is that, so, you know, if you are one of these types and say 40% of all your household wealth is tied up in financial assets that are in your IRAs and your 529s and your trust accounts and all that stuff. So if you have a, you know, bad week in the stock market and it drops, it corrects 20%, your funded ratio will definitely not drop as much as that 20%. So it's a lot less scary and a lot less meaningful, because you have other assets that, you know, that are picking up the slack potentially, and they may be your safe income assets, and your job isn't in danger, so your future savings still on track. And so it keeps you focused more on that number and making sure that that's not dropping below a level where we get in what we call kind of an underfunded situation. But it's nowhere near. It's just the danger is, as you know, is once you start getting into a big correction and stuff, depending on how high that financial assets is a percentage of your total assets, people tend to panic and do things that potentially can hurt them in the long run. Whereas this tries to keep you low and steady, you can see, oh, okay, my funded ratio did go down a little bit, not that much. I'm still on track. The other thing that we did with this, and when I say we, I have another CPA partner who's been helping me with this, is we added some SWOT analysis to it, some, strength, weaknesses, opportunity, and threats. And with this information, you can look at and make a pretty good assessment of, if, again, with the example I just gave you is, if you have a drawdown event of 20%, how is it going to affect my funded ratio? If I have a drawdown event of 25%, if I have a big correction that's over 40%, what that'll do. And you can do that for all the kind of different aspects of savings as well as the spending. So we can look at, if you had a unexpected expense of $100,000, how does that affect your funded ratio? If I, on the other side of that, if I have a good liquidity event and I've got another $200,000, how does that affect my funded ratio? So that's the measure I'm trying to get, at least with my retirement clients, and I hope folks that subscribe to this new service focus on, because I do think it's a very good measure that cuts out all the noise and clutter and stuff that is getting bombarded with. This is the number that you should watch and manage.
I like it. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Well, Jim, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I'm a big sci-fi movie guy, so my tip is Just Begin. So if you've ever watched the movie Martian with Matt Damon or read the book, it's a great book too. He's talking to the new astronauts at the end of the money. Remember, he survived on Mars for almost 2 years and got back. And he says, the real secret to any of this is just begin. You got to, and if you solve enough problems, you get to come home alive. And that's not that extreme in what we do, but I really hope that people will just start, even if it's just playing with an internet calculator to get an idea of what, they could, how much of a return they could get on a portfolio, or engaging with an advisor and stuff and really tackling the main issue, just which may be, maybe you just start with a Social Security question, but then it branches out to some, a much broader set of comprehensive financial questions. So, which is what you do, but it's just so hard to kind of do that first step and get started. So my tip is, just begin.
I love it. That is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
So, Jim, thank you for that. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
My website, which is cochcapital.com, cochcapital.com. No relation to the Koch brothers. and then to find out more about the Informed Household, that is informedhousehold.com as well. So places, beware to find out more information.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jim your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to cochcapital.com as well as informedhousehold.com. Thank you again, Jim.
Thank you, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together. What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!